The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
A numbers game here on a Wednesday. Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin here on the desk with me. Already got in some good college basketball talk, some golf talk, some NBA talk.
Great show today.
Some chicken wing, chicken finger talk.
Good job by Danny, the whole crew back there.
Chicken finger talk has been popular.
I'm glad some of the tweets we've received about that too. I haven't checked in a while. Do we have others adding in?
Will Hill just joining in, letting us know that it is a. He says he gives it an A plus. Raising Cane's gets the A plus.
If Will Hill endorses it,
yeah.
Who cares what we say?
Should go in. Bobby tweets in and says he's on a roll. He's a Pats fan. He had Hideki outright. He had USA in the mix curling, and he had Nebraska live at 11-1 versus Purdue.
Been a
rough one.
I'd hate to say I've benefited from some of those L's, but I have, and I'm sorry, Bobby. We all go through.
Didn't bet against our mixed curling team, you liar.
I said some.
Yeah.
Like Hideki.
You better not have.
And the Patriots. Yes,
I know. Better not have done that.
I would have been in a very fragile mental state this week if Hideki had won that tournament. So I'm very glad that played out like it did.
We have reflipped now at DraftKings, where Detroit is now back to a 1.5 favorite. So people have decided that they're gonna fight over this.
Yeah, I'm looking. It's mainly pick'ems out there. Mm-hmm. Do have yeah. Also, DraftKings does it's 1.5 plus 102. Right, is that what I'm looking at right now? Right, so you do the little bit of the weird vig. Hornets has settled in at 4.5 with the suspensions coming down.
Yeah, and it seems like people were 17.5 was too much for, I'm guessing, some sort of release or some sort of group or something, because it was a concerted effort where all of the 17.5s were wiped out at the same time. People mm-hmm. taking 17.5 points with Washington against Cleveland. We're actually all the way down to 15.5 at the score, if you live in a score bet market, but flat 16 at Fanatics, flat 16 at FanDuel, and then 16.5 at DraftKings, Caesars as well. So there were people came in all at the same time here and said 17.5 was too many points, and they're going to take the Washington Wizards.
Yeah, that's interesting. A couple other just line movements quick in the NBA. I'm not sure if I brought this one up earlier on the air. Blazers, Wolves. The only other one I bet besides the Raptors tonight was the Blazers last night. I took 7.5, just talked about liking their win total over currently as well. I took that at 7.5 last night. I didn't bet it big. Shaedon Sharpe's going to be out for this game tonight. Wanted to see on some other injury news today. This is one where it's just going to be continued to monitor all day long. Anthony Edwards did get downgraded this morning to questionable with an illness. Naz Reid also questionable for this game. The spread's like 5.5 now. I think that's what I'm seeing, Matt. That is one. Look, if I knew Anthony Edwards is going to be out and I can jump on the Blazers again at plus 5.5, absolutely I will look to do that. Otherwise, I'll probably just ride with what I've got in pocket right now if I miss the line move on this one today. And then the other one that's coming back down a little bit, I'm noticing, is that Spurs line.
Mm-hmm.
8, there's a 7.5 at DraftKings. Keep coming on down. I mean, maybe that's not good news. Someone knows something about Stephon Castle.
I was about to say, it seems like somebody knows Castle isn't going to play.
Yeah.
Which we kind of assume that anyway, though.
I don't know if I really mind that. If Castle's out and this gets to 7 or sub 7.
No, I want it to get officially announced, and then I hope it does get sub 7.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. How many minutes for Wemby last night again? Like 25, 26?
Yeah. Yeah. He only played 8 minutes in the second half.
I think the other one, look, I've gone up against the Warriors a few times here past month and a half with mixed results. With Jimmy Butler out, these games that Stephen Curry sits, it is very tough for me to avoid betting against them. And I say mixed results because they've played pretty well here recently, even with Jimmy Butler out. But anytime Steph Curry gets ruled out too, I just question, where is this offense going to come from in this Spurs team, man? I they're not being underrated by anybody anymore, but continue to play so well and have all season on both sides of the ball. So last game they'll play before heading to the All-Star break. Yeah, it's definitely one I've got circled for tonight.
Yeah, I'm looking here too. And from a San Antonio Golden State standpoint, Kelly, I think that, considering that's a late game as well, we might not get the official on that for maybe a couple of hours or something.
Oh, it could be 5 o'clock today. Yeah. Or something like that. Pacific time. Yeah.
So that's one of those that You might just have to be. I was gonna say you might just have to be kind of sitting next to your phone or your computer or something like that.
The other one that's like again, I'll bring it up again. This is not. It's not gonna be for everybody. You're not gonna want to do this. I'm going to start mixing. I don't do this a lot either. Just the kind of big favorite money line parlays. It's not something I do much of during the regular season. This is the time. We've talked about a lot about these tanking teams. This is the time of the year I'm going to start at least considering it more. And I think that Spurs, if you didn't want to lay that many points, like you, I think you could tie in the Nuggets. Hey, Nuggets, I'm seeing a minus 700 money line out there right now on that. I think they roll through the Grizzlies tonight. Grizzlies got to go into Denver. We talked about this team and what they're lacking. Cedric Coward out for this game tonight as well, who I think is going to be, or doubtful, at least doubtful right now. If he misses this game tonight, I mean, that is he's going to be one of the focal points of this team as they try to develop some of these younger pieces going forward. And if he misses this game, he's been playing well. I think that's a big hit for them. Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic both supposed to go in this game tonight for Denver.
Some news coming out just in the industry in general, Kelly, and it's something that I actually, before legalization was even widespread or whatever, something I've been screaming from a mountaintop was DraftKings FanDuel is no longer going to accept credit cards for deposits.
Yeah, that's a good idea, probably.
Moving forward. And, you know, this is something, like I said, I've been screaming about since legalization was a thing. We preach responsible gambling, and I think that it is important that people that have a microphone in front of them and have some sort of platform preach responsible gambling, because I think we live in a bubble where a lot of people that you and I know are responsible gamblers, have been longtime gamblers. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it can be lost on us that people do lose control sometimes into things like that. So the fact that you should just gamble with money that you have, not mythical money. Right. Like, right, and so when it's the whole, like, oh, I'm going to go put $500 on my credit card and I'll just pay it off when my check comes, that's when things can kind of get out of control. I think this is a smart decision. They're doing this nationwide, by the way. It was already implemented in some states out there, but now FanDuel's going to cut it off. I would like, if other sportsbooks out there are still taking credit, I would hope they would follow suit and all that. Because again, there are just little things you can do to help kind of along the way with the industry. And I'm pretty sure not letting people gamble with money they don't actually have in their account is one of the ways that we can maybe move in the right direction.
Matt, I'm 39 years old. I still try to limit my credit card access because of those types of things. Yeah. Exactly. And frankly, man, you and I were playing poker, imagine when you were 21, 22 years old, playing a ton of poker and betting on sports. If I could go to the cage at the card room and fund it with a credit card or make the sports bets I was going to make with a credit card. Yeah, it's a slippery slope. I agree with you.
Yeah, it's just one of those.
I might have mixed opinions on what we talked about yesterday with some of the prop betting stuff. Mm. This one,
I look at it like this, right? Where if we're going to bash sports books when they do things stupid, then we should also praise them when they do things right the right way. I do believe that this is a step in the right direction. Just industry as a whole, there's enough stuff that we deal with in this industry as it is. Maybe, like, let's not be getting stories of kids opening up, you know, credit cards and then like maxing them out instantly so they can fund their, which, you know,
could happen like that. Yeah. It's a scary thought. I think there's mixed reactions to this, and there's only a few places I think that really do it in Vegas, but you know, there are certain spots, right, where you can, I don't know fully about it because I would never let myself do this, but like, you know, you could just, isn't there some of the table games now where you could just throw on a credit card or a debit card or something like that? That's terrifying. Or I know some places you can download apps and just kind of use those at the tables. That's not something I need to get involved with either.
Yeah.
I need cash down. Give me chips. The chips run out.
We're a little old school that way, but it's kind of like, you know what? Just here's my money. Like, give me the chips for the money and all of that. And like,
I am often drinking in the casino. I do not need to have that loose of control over where my money's at.
All right. So any other of these NBA games that we need to hit on to make sure that we've touched on before people go to put their bets in? Like you said, we are getting action on a lot of these. I am 100% positive now that somebody knows something about Castle, because now every book is moving down. This 7.5 is going to turn into 7 for sure. And in San Antonio, Golden State, we're getting a bunch of action on Oklahoma City right now. My screen keeps lighting up with that one. We're getting some support from New Orleans here against Miami.
Yeah, I don't really get that one. Two bad teams, in my opinion. That one, I really have any.
Does this just go to the whole thing of what we said yesterday of where New Orleans doesn't have any incentive to not at least try and play?
No, totally. Yeah. And, you know, I'm going to always say this with a grain of salt at this point, because Matt Brown, when you and I were doing shows regularly together 5 days a week back, what was this, 4 years ago now at this point, however long it's been. And all I would keep saying was, watch out for this New Orleans Pelicans young group, right? I was high on Zion, but it was always Trey Murphy and Herb Jones. And now I'm getting sick of hearing people like myself say it, because it's the Justin Herbert thing to me. It's like, how long are we going to talk about these guys and just cut them slack whenever they just have losses? And it's that with them. I think there is still some talent there, and they have no incentive to lose, but it's not really a team I've been running to back this season.
I mean, if you want to talk about just one of the more disappointing franchise arcs over half decade, it would be them for sure. Because like you did kind of see where it looked like there was like a light at the end of the tunnel. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's the never ending tunnel. Like they've stayed in the tunnel.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I heard it a lot around the trade deadline, and I'm not trying to completely destroy these guys. Not just like, I don't think Justin Herbert's a terrible quarterback. Mm-hmm. I just think he gets built up too much. Like, I don't want to hear about how good a Trey Murphy or Herb Jones is. You got 15 wins. That's where you're at. You got 15 wins and 40 losses this season. It's at some point, especially in basketball or a quarterback in the NFL, if you're good as good as everybody's going to say, the wins usually come along.
A lot of action on the board, as we said. We'll see if John Von Tobel took advantage of any of these moves. Again, as my screen continues to light up like a Christmas tree, last big day of NBA before the break, so everybody's getting involved. JBT's plays when we come back.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
A numbers game here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Matt Brown and Kelly Bidlin. Cannot wait to talk some NBA here with Jonathan Von Tobel. And another thing that I know Jonathan Von Tobel is into, as we have done ample amount of content on this together as well, is the NFL draft. ESPN announcing NFL Draft Daily will debut today, Kelly Bidlin. Okay. And it will be a daily weekday show talking about the NFL draft all the way up until April the 23rd when this thing goes off. So we're going to be getting insight from a panel that includes everyone from Schefter and Kuiper and all of them to Matt Miller and Field Yates and all of that. So I don't have a DVR set for very many shows anymore, but might have to set a DVR for that one.
It is one of the ESPN shows, I think, that does great work. And it might not be for everybody, but I'm down to hear about the draft multiple times a week at this time of year.
JVT, you can see him right here on the network a little bit after us, and at me, JVT, over there on the Twitter machine. NFL Draft Daily, my friend. We're going to get daily insights into this draft.
Much like you will hear probably the Vegas Stats and Information Network, and I'm sure we won't beat to hell some of the props that we talk about all of the time. And will there be a point where, I mean, who's going to be the first round quarterback that actually really has no shot of going in the first round, but because there's probably one quarterback going that we're going to say, like, you know, extra year of control, all that kind of stuff at back end of the first round, you trade back in. I'm very curious to see who that's going to be.
This is my favorite JVT draft bet ever. What it's the under total quarterbacks first round, right? Because of that reason.
Under total quarterbacks of the first round every single year. I think we've done this. If I remember, I'll have to go back in my notes and look. I think this is going to be our ninth year of draft betting in Nevada. It is 6-2 to the under. So it has been a profitable strategy so far. But last year did go over, as many people will point out.
We're going to get into this tomorrow, Kelly, on the show, so I don't want to give away too much of this, but Field Yates did reveal his first mock draft since we kind of know how things are going to play out. He has Ty Simpson going in the first round. So he does have, he has Ty Simpson going in the first round.
JVT's ready to fade right away. Yeah.
So just,
what do you
just
set the number at for first round quarterbacks?
I mean, I would have set it at flat one, and then I mean, because they can't do a half because you know it's over, but you can't do 1.5 because you know it's pretty much under. So you just got to do a flat one and see what happens.
What do we actually see? Do you think it's actually going to be 1.5?
Like I think it's going to be 1.5.
Yeah.
Wow. When's the last time we've had a draft where it's been 1.5?
I think they're going to have to make it flat one. Because that's 1.5 is just going to get ridiculously bet under.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the more interesting prop numbers. I can't wait to see what they're going to do with it. Because, and you guys know, I mean, every year it gets bet over every single year. And so I'm going to be very curious to see. I mean, because if you hang one, Matt, as you mentioned, I mean, like, who's really going to bet that? I guess you'll bet over one, but I don't know if that'll track that many people knowing that you're going to have a very high probability of just a push. I don't know what they're going to do. My guess is that it's 1.5 heavily juiced to the under. And then by the time we get to the NFL draft, we're going to have player X is going to slip right into this first round and that thing's going to get bet up a little bit.
John, before we go to the NBA, I know we got a full card of the NBA today. I want to get to that with you, but I'm sure like you have been doing, we kicked around a bunch of the NFL futures yesterday. The one team I kept coming back to was, why are the Indianapolis Colts as long as they are? Did we all forget what this team looked like at the beginning of the season last year? Any thoughts on your Colts or just kind of NFL futures that have leaked out so far for next season?
Yeah, so I've got two thoughts for you here. First on the Colts and then a team that I think really does stick out. For Indy, it's obviously twofold. It's Daniel Jones coming off the Achilles. When is he going to be fully healthy? When is he going to be available? You guys know all the answers to those questions. I would also say, Kelly, and I've been pretty strong on this, and we were talking about this on Pod to the Futures before the injury to Daniel Jones on Money Moves leading up to that game against Jacksonville. I think very quietly, if you actually look at Daniel Jones in that offense, he was kind of leaking oil a little bit before he got injured. Maybe some of that had to do with the injury. Was it the tibia or whatever it was leading then to the Achilles? But he had been very, very average for quite a few weeks, and the turnover-worthy plays had really started to increase. And so I think that the real Daniel Jones was starting to make an appearance. Hmm. It's just that he suffered a very serious injury before we really saw that thing break down. So that would be my worry. Okay. Coming off of a serious injury, and what if my observations were correct, that he was actually starting to regress in a very hard way, then I think that leads you to a team that might be a little overvalued. But one, I mean, it seems like we do this every year. I'm willing to do this myself for the first time. I do it in the NBA with this city, but I will do it now here in the NFL. Give me the Falcons at 80-1 to win the Super Bowl. If they're going to get priced like that, I'm a big Kevin Stefanski guy. I believe in the skill position talent they have. He's obviously got a real offense now. We'll see if he can fix, I guess, if you want to use that terminology, Penix. But I think he's going to work wonders with this team. We know what's going on with James Pierce Jr., but even outside of him, this defense has been relatively solid, of average to above average. And in a division that I think is going to be somewhat poor, I don't know what the Panthers are going to be. We kind of have an idea what the Buccaneers are going to be, and the Saints will be improved. I think that looks to me on paper like the best team in a weak NFC South, and I wouldn't be surprised if they make a pretty solid run and have a good record. So Atlanta, 80-1 is the future that calls my name.
Well, I mean, you're sitting here doing all this talk about Daniel Jones and not doing it with Kirk James Cousins, who's going to be the quarterback of that team. So, like, I don't even know why you're sitting here talking about Daniel Jones when it's going to be Kirk Cousins who's going to be the quarterback of the Colts. But, yes, that's for a conversation at another time. Let's get to a game that has been getting – we talked about my screen. This early in the day, I've not seen an NBA screen just lighting up as much as it has so far this morning. But Atlanta and Charlotte, this is 4.5 out there in favor of Charlotte, 233.5 all the way to 234.5 from a total perspective. What are you looking at in this one?
Yeah, I took Atlanta here, catching the points against the Hornets. And obviously, we start with the suspensions. We have Bridges, we have Diabate, both who are out. Both who are integral pieces to the most efficient lineup in the NBA so far this season, with those two, Con Knipple, Brandon Miller, and LaMelo Ball. But guys, look at this from just a price standpoint. When they played on Saturday in Atlanta, they were 1.5-point favorites. That translates to roughly where they are now. They're missing two key starters. I mean, I think that the power rating for Charlotte is really, really strong right now. And the fact that they're laying this number without two key pieces of their starting five, to me, I'm going to take the shot. We'll see if Dyson Daniels plays today. That is a questionable. Yeah. Obviously, I would very much like him out there. And so we're going to take a little bit of a gamble. If he initially plays and he did not play on Monday, then I think we're going to have a pretty good shot to cover this game. Maybe the Hawks went outright, but I think that we're kind of at the top of the market here with Charlotte. We saw them as a 2.5-point dog to Detroit, obviously, in that brawl game on Monday night. They don't cover that game. And I think right now, the fact they're laying 4.5 with some key suspensions, to me, is a very high watermark for this team's power rating. So give me Atlanta tonight.
The brawl game. Well done. That is, that was what I was looking at last night, too, JVT. I didn't end up pulling the trigger. Just Dyson Daniels, Jalen Johnson, both questionable tags, worries me a bit. But from a pricing standpoint, you're completely correct. I had to end up on Detroit the other night, too. I think we've maybe swung a little too far on the Charlotte Power right now. I'm with you. If I had to bet, that would still be Atlanta. I'm chuckling because we talked a lot about this Jazz team, what they've done the past couple nights. You've got to play in the Jazz Kings game here.
Yeah, so let's give this a shot. We know Keontae George is not going to play, but Lauri Markkanen is. And so let me remove some of the nonsense here for a second, and I will go Jazz first half -3.5. Also, some of this is because, look, I mean, together, I think Lauri Markkanen and Jaren Jackson, we have not seen a lot, but I think it's going to be very, very formidable. They're a very good duo. They fit really well with one another. We've seen the emergence of some of the other guards for Utah, so I think they're going to be out there. You want the non-data handicap here? The Jazz have been spending the last few days just getting absolutely murdered for outright tanking and looking like absolute losers. I do think that there's probably some sort of a strong effort coming to start the game. It wouldn't be hilarious if they do come out to a really strong start, smoke the Kings in the first half, and then do exactly what they did the other night, which is pull their guys. But I think you get a strong effort from Utah. I also think some of it has to do with the fact that they might be tired of hearing about the fact that they are outright dirty tankers.
Yeah.
So we'll see if this comes to fruition.
Yeah. Could we spin this forward a little bit with me, JVT? Because how does this stop, right? Like, are we all 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now, are we just going to say this is what the Jazz do every game? Or is the NBA going to get involved? Is the Jazz going to feel the pressure, kind of like you just alluded to, too much that they stop doing this? Sitting everybody in the third quarter, if you missed this, the past two games, Utah has sent the starters basically in totality to the bench for the rest of the game. What happens with this? Because I don't really know.
I mean, Adam Silver's kind of got to grow a backbone here, doesn't he? I mean, has to at some point do something. I mean, you're asking what's going to happen. A notoriously light-handed commissioner when it comes to punishments and things of that nature, a notoriously pro-player commissioner who has allowed this to happen. Do we trust that he is going to come out and throw the book at the Utah Jazz or do something to change the rules that would then stop this team from doing these sort of things? I think there's a lot, like this kind of can of worms, Kelly. A lot of people have complained about the draft lottery, for example. I would argue the draft lottery has done its job. We have seen these teams in like the 9-ish range or leap all the way up to the top four multiple times. Tanking is not the thing that has been, it has not been as successful as it has been in the past because the lottery odds have evened out a little bit. And so I think the Jazz will probably learn their lesson when they still end up with like the fourth overall pick, despite the fact that they're trying this. But I do think it starts with Adam Silver, whether it's changing the rules, whether it's changing the way the draft order is determined, or actually just coming down on Utah and doing something with the way that they're blatantly skirting the rules and just tanking and screwing over their fans too, by the way. Right. We always talk about gambling from that perspective. If you go out there to buy a ticket, how do you feel after watching that in that fourth quarter?
Guys, his middle name's Daniel, by the way. It's Kirk Daniel. I made up.
You know,
Kirk,
I met him in San Francisco.
I made up Kirk Cousins' middle name, and I was just going, you know what? Someone's going to go look it up. And so I just, it's Kirk Daniel Cousins.
Yeah, it checks out.
Very strong handshake.
Yes, Kirk Daniel Cousins.
Very strong handshake.
He is the son of Don and Mary, if anyone was wondering that. JVT, appreciate it, buddy. I'm sure you have some more takes here in a little bit.
See you guys.
When we come back, me and Kelly going to get into some of this NFL talk.
Yeah.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin, trying to make some sense of dual luge. That's been one of the hot topics this morning.
What, we got straight cross-country skiing or biathlon now?
I think we're just...
Nordic combined. Matt Brown, tell me what the Nordic combined is.
You have to ski uphill and downhill.
Really?
And then speed.
I can't tell if he... I've known Matt Brown for so long, I can't tell if he's lying to me.
I have no idea.
I was going to be shocked if he actually knew, but...
Just found out today it was dual luge. I mean, I didn't even know that was a thing.
They don't do it. See, you just made up a great event. Why don't they have one? I want to see them get to the top of the mountain and then ski down the mountain.
That would be a good one.
Right?
So it's like your power and then it's your speed.
Yeah. Even if it's like rock climbing.
And then
climbing
you jump at the end.
Then you jump.
So it could be a
combine them all.
Yeah, a three-way thing. I like this. Next one. When's the next one? 4 years?
Yeah, 4 years.
Yeah, and we'll get that done in next
year. It's usually 4 years.
They'll all be AI athletes by then anyway. It won't matter.
Robot fighting, all that stuff.
We can literally just make up anything we want to because they'll all be...
Yeah, do it.
Yeah, they'll all be cyborgs anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Guys, if you have not done so already, you should go in and become a VSiN Pro subscriber. We are going to let you do that for as little as $9.99. So go in and you can get every one of the daily articles that we have posted over there that is breaking down everything in the entire landscape of sports. And if you happen to join in the little, you know, in your little $9.99 trial thing, and we're putting out one of those betting guides, maybe some of the best work we do here at this network, Kelly Bidlin, guides get you ready for all kinds of stuff.
Absolutely. Adam Burke, Zach Cohen kind of guiding each one of those. And Adam Burke on baseball is about as good as it gets. I know him and Jensen doing all this for the MLB guide. Can't wait. And absolutely agree with you, because guess what? It's tough to be an expert in every single sport. So for guys I know like me and Matt, yes, we take advantage of these ones that, for me, baseball, need to read up on.
You get the betting splits, you get the prop tool as well. Of course, all of this for just as low as $9.99 for the first month of VSiN.com/subscribe. Someone said that the chicken tenders were mid at Cane's. Ronnie said they're mid.
Ronnie.
Well, he did follow back up and said that the best of all the chain chicken tender places, though. So, I mean, I guess he came back in and made it not as bad, but like they're not mid. They're lightly breaded chicken fingers that aren't super thick, because I don't like want to eat a piece of chicken that feels like I'm eating a piece of steak.
Yeah, but they're also not like, it's also not like the other side. I would complain the other side where you go get chicken tenders at like a fast food restaurant and you're just like, what is this? Like, there's no chicken barely in.
Yeah.
But there's some chicken.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's chicken, but it's not all breading is what I'm saying.
Yes. No, there's no. Yeah. It's a lot of solid chicken breast in there. Yeah. The other one I would get, I think they're great. Ronnie, I guess the other thing that I would say is very impressive about them to me is, have you ever gone there and been like, oh, this has been sitting around for a while or anything like that? It's always fresh and like hot. It's delicious.
Yeah, it's certainly one of those things where I look at it and go, you know, I don't often do the fast food, but it's, you know, Cane's is up there.
I will say, Ronnie, there's one I have in mind that does, it does compete. And that would be at the great public supermarkets down in the Southeast that you and I are very familiar with. Chicken tenders at the deli are very delicious there.
Old Jameis's place.
Mm, that's right. Jameis's place. He prefers crab legs from there. I prefer chicken tenders.
James says, don't they have to set the quarterback total at 1.5? I mean, listen.
I guess I hadn't really thought about it.
It's a very weird thing because it's like, yeah, one is a free roll, but then 1.5, you'd have to price it at like -800 for the under. So it's just, I don't know how they're going to go about it.
I mean, there's nobody else. Like, we're at this point, we know this. Like, Carson Beck, none of these guys. Like, there's nobody else.
The only person that I have seen mentioned at all as possibly is Ty Simpson. And that's just in a couple of the mocks that are out there.
Chambliss is back. He's back in school.
Now, here's the thing.
For his seventh year or whatever.
Well, no.
That's still being worked out.
He is suing now.
Right.
To try to go back.
So that's still being worked out. Okay.
Yeah. That's how bad. Here's the deal. That's how he knows for sure that he's not going to be a first round. He's been advised at least properly because he's fighting as hard as he can to stay in school.
Man.
So it would really only be Ty Simpson. That's not a consensus.
Clunker of a draft.
Well, everywhere else is awesome.
I mean, for betting purposes, it will still be great. Quarterbacks, a little bit of
But I mean, there's going to be four or five awesome receivers taken. There's going to be all kinds of like real defensive difference makers. I mean, there's going to be all of that. It's going to be awesome. But yes, from a quarterback perspective, they might just wait, and this is what I responded to James with, they might just wait to post it and see if a narrative gets going with one of the other quarterbacks so they don't have to price it so ridiculous.
I'm a little surprised we haven't seen more draft markets pop up in general, but yeah, you're right. Maybe you just hold off a little bit on quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm. And just see if maybe they can build a narrative for Simpson or something.
When you're talking about booking around 1.5, you almost have to, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's too easy to get burned one way or the other there.
All right, so we want to get into some of these early numbers here over in the NFL. Just give you this is like an exercise where you can go in and give yourself some off-season kind of checklist stuff to go with some of these teams and see if you want to go in and bet any of these numbers either later on, or if you think they're going to move, then you can do it now. But start with the NFC West, and this is one of the, like, clearest divisions there is, and I think probably the clearest division as who the last place team is. I don't know if there is another division where I think is as clear. I mean, I guess you could argue maybe the Browns in the AFC North, but I don't know. Maybe there's enough talent there for the Browns to overcome the Steelers or something in the North. But I look at this one as so clear cut that it is going to be the Cardinals. That I mean, that if when they do the whole Exacta stuff or the team to definitely finish last or whatever, they're like, this will be a bet that goes in the
end. Well, I made a bet in that market last year in this division, Matt. It was on the Seattle Seahawks. To finish last.
You did not believe in one, Samuel Darnold. Oh, man,
I did not. Don't worry. My mind quickly changed on this team about a month into the season. It was a good example of getting off your priors quick. That Seattle team was great. I hear you. I think that's the deal with Cardinals. The only thing I would say, I think Kyler, we've seen him play so well. We've seen him play so bad. We've seen him play injured. You just don't know what you're going to get out of that. But the three other teams are just so much better.
And if you guys didn't see...
What's that number, though? What do you think that Cardinals number to finish last in the NFC West is?
I mean, it's...
It's got to be minus 200, more than that, probably.
It's going to be something that you have to kind of parlay with another team that you think is definitely going to finish last and go in and do that. Because if you guys didn't see Matthew Stafford, when he accepted that MVP award, said that he was coming back.
He's back.
And so we will have Sam Darnold in Seattle. We will have Matthew Stafford in LA, and we'll have Brock Purdy in San Francisco. Now, if we look at the team that I think has the most amount of needs past the Cardinals, I think it's the 49ers. You've got to figure out what to do here with this team. I mean, Christian McCaffrey had a fine year receiving the ball.
Right.
They could not run the ball at all. I mean, there were multiple games. McCaffrey had 18, 19, 20 carries that went for 50 yards.
I mean, wasn't his worst season yards per carry?
It was absolutely pathetic. And so, and a lot of that had to do with the fact that teams, because they didn't have a true wide receiver one, that they were able to go in and just kind of like basically focus on McCaffrey, right? And like, Ayuk's going to be out of town. They've already said that. So they've got to get a wide receiver one way, shape, or form. I don't know if they're going to trade for one. I don't know if they're going to draft one. I don't know if there's anybody in free agency that's worth bringing in that they could actually think could be a wide receiver one. I don't want to think this, but George Kittle might have played his last game.
Yeah, I was just going to bring that up. Yep.
Like, that's a tough road back, and he's not young. You know,
I don't think so, Matt, but regardless, it's a tough road back, and we're getting older when we talk about guys like him, Kyle Juszczyk even, right? Like, these guys are getting older.
And so it's like, even if Kittle does come back, you just have to think at the advanced age, it's probably a step slower, you know? Mm-hmm. And so...
And the defense needs help.
The defense had a bunch of problems too. So that, to me, I think there's a clear tier when I say, like, you know, betting either exactas or exact finishes in this one. I faded the 49ers this year. It was in the NFL betting guide. I lost that one. They were able to overcome, you know, even what turned out kind of like I thought, some injuries and different things, whatever, but that soft schedule
was easy.
Yeah, soft schedule just played out for them. So they got over that 10.5 to get to 12 wins. But I still have them as a very clear third team in that division. And then basically you just have to talk yourself into whether you like Seattle or LA better. I think I still like the Rams better. I liked them better. I mean, a muff punt away, I think, from playing in the Super Bowl. You know, I mean, just a horrific timed muff punt.
Yeah, good chance.
And, you know, I like them, I think, better than I like Seattle. So for me, it's probably a Rams, Seattle, 49ers, Cardinals, because you don't have a ton of needs on the Rams side of things. Now that you've got the quarterback, right, you've got the wide receivers, you've got the offensive line, you've got the running backs, like, you're picking up luxury items at this point in free agency in the draft.
Special
and like,
that's teams where might you need be. To be addressed, but you know, and if you have to address special teams, you're in a good place.
Someone that can field a punt. Yes. Yeah. Like anyone out there that can field a punt is basically their
just
name.
On the surface of this, you know, I saw they released, DraftKings at least released Super Bowl and conference odds basically right after the Super Bowl. Division we saw yesterday or late Monday night is when these got released. I missed them on Monday. Okay, I don't think it was any surprise to me, Matt, to see plus 950 on each of them for the Super Bowl, 5-1 to win the conference. Pretty big difference in the division price, though. And yes, the schedule, first place schedule versus second place schedule, that comes into play a little bit. Yeah, you surprised to see that at all? I'm a little surprised to see that big of a gap.
They're still the two best teams in football.
They're the best two best teams in football. Yep.
They're still the two best teams in football. Obviously, injuries in the offseason can come into play, but still the best two teams in football. Put a bow on this one when we come back.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Kelly Bidlin. And Kelly, I have a thought here as we watch the Olympics go on behind us, and we're fascinated by some of the stuff that's going on with all of this. But I do wonder, like, do you think that Winter Olympics in particular, because you have to live in a very specific place,
sure,
has the most inferior of all of the athletes? Because
you
have to live in a place that has snow or ice or whatever, or in a country that is just always covered in snow or ice and stuff, in order to even participate in these things in the first place, much less have it around you enough to become good at it and whatever. So, like,
you know what?
Isn't the pool so small that they're drawing from?
Well, it's smaller. Yeah. Yeah. The other one you didn't bring up, which I don't want to further dunk on the Winter Olympics, but some of these, you're telling me people get into bobsledding without, like, money involved? I mean, we talk about equipment costs for, like, hockey and football. Like, how
were showing yesterday during the curling, a curling club, which is basically like a country club, but for curling. Like, you had to join
the
club in order to do the curl. So, I mean, again, these are...
I mean, Ben Wilson did it in high school.
Right, yeah, you know?
Keep coming back to Ben.
In one of his five houses. I mean, that's the thing. He probably had a curling wing in his house in Wisconsin. But... you know, again, not this. They're still doing stuff that I could not do.
I can't believe you're saying this when we've got this Nordic combine on right now. But it's like, I'm seeing these guys climb up hills on skis. Like, I'd be dead on a hillside.
When you watch a sprinter sprint, the only barrier to entry is having a pair of shoes, and then just you run, and then you find out who the fastest person in the world is.
Yeah, okay, right? So, like, throw some skis on, and you find out who the fastest person is climbing a hill.
No, the barrier to entry there is, like, how many countries never even, there? It doesn't snow ever. I mean, like, it never snow. I don't know if I'm good at that or not. This could have been my calling for all I know. It doesn't snow in Louisiana. How the hell am I supposed to know whether I can do this or not?
Well, track athletes are going to struggle to run in snow, too, if they grew up north.
No, because it still gets warm enough to where you can just go, you can run indoors.
Waiting for the indoor comment.
Yeah, there's everything. You can do any of these things.
I don't like you bashing the Winter Olympics. I think these are incredible athletes.
I think that it is probably the weakest of all of the Olympic athletes, and maybe even athletes in general. Because it's just, again, you're just drawing from such a small pool.
So, Summer Olympics is always better than winter, right? I like watching some of the weird events in winter. That's what's got, like, the bobsledding and stuff. It's awesome to watch.
So, for example, and then we'll move on. But how do you even know that you can dual bobsled? Like, I mean, who in the world knows that they can dual bobsled?
Oh, I don't know.
Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, like,
we were talking about it earlier too. I'm like, as we discussed yesterday,
you know whether you're fast or not. You knew that you were not fast, like, when you were growing up. Like, you knew that instantly. You knew whether you could jump high. You knew whatever, all these other things, stuff like that. You knew how far you could throw stuff, all of these things. You don't even know if you could dual bobsled. You might have been the best dual bobsledder in the history of the world, for all you know.
I don't want to brag or anything, but high school football practices, there's only one guy I was trying to beat every day in sprints. That's where that separated. It was me and one other guy that were just bringing up the last.
Just saying. I mean, again, they're great at what they do and all. I just think it's like, it's probably a soft... probably a soft pool of athletes.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah.
If we tossed our best into this at a young age, we would probably dominate all of the things.
I want to say Drew Dinsick would disagree with you, but probably not.
There's no reason.
He was a collegiate swimmer, so probably not.
And there's also no reason. There's no way for us to actually know about this. So to put a bow here on the NFC West, I do believe that the Rams and the Seahawks are fairly priced, honestly, from a Super Bowl in conference standpoint. I don't look at any of the other teams in the NFC and see what I see in them. Now, the upside of what I think the Bears could possibly be, I think, is certainly super interesting, because second year under Ben Johnson, and obviously you're going to go out. You don't really need to do much on the offensive side of the ball, but you're going to go out and address a couple of things on the defensive side. And I think the Bears are at least super interesting from an upside standpoint. Can Philadelphia get back to having a functional offense on a regular basis? I guess we'll see.
Are you more of a believer in that or doubter in that?
I kind of doubt it, because I think that they, in a behind closed doors, they would like to get rid of AJ Brown.
Yeah, I agree.
And I just don't know if there's a one for one anybody out there that you could bring in that then makes that offense back to what we saw 2 years ago.
Man, I'm starting to think I'm more on an island with this. I don't think the Eagles are, like, I think their odds are too short right now. Mm-hmm. But just the way I asked you it, I tend to believe more that we see an Eagle bounce back this year, more so than this continuing to be an issue. Mm-hmm. But it's fascinating. I think it's one of the fascinating conversations in the NFC, because I think Packers are probably belong exactly where they're at. Lions, I expect to be better, but yeah. odds-wise, I think they're probably yeah. right where they should.
They are the obvious worst to first candidate, though.
Right, correct.
Like, they're the super obvious, like, when those markets come out, and they will come out, and I understand that it won't be a sexy number comparatively to the other, but they're the obvious worst to first mm-hmm, candidate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's, yeah, look, Niners, Bears, I think they're all right there. Cowboys, Bucks feel a little short to me right now, but, you know, it wouldn't shock me if either one of those teams was played well and got into the playoffs this year. Trying to think who else. And I agree with JVT. I don't think it would be a shocker if the Falcons ended up playing. They got all the pieces. They just don't have a quarterback right now.
I mean, the Seahawks have to pay JSN. They will. So I'm not worried about that. The running back situation. Is Ken Walker good? Sure. Is he a dude that I think, like, makes a difference in your team?
You're not overpaying. Like,
no, yeah, no. So, I mean, they probably move on for, yeah, they probably move on from him. But that money... We've seen so many good third round.
I know.
Running back.
Like, sorry, Seattle fans, but it's yeah. just, I don't think it's good for your team to think about, to be thinking about him coming back.
And so I think, you know, I think they're fairly priced in all of those. So those are the ones for me that I really do stand out. Honestly, I'm just going to hope that there's some early season losses or something like that, and I can get in on one of them at a little bit better price.
Yeah, I think my mistake this year I made too. I talked about it dating back to November. I thought it was very clear it was Rams and Seahawks in the NFC. AFC was weak. My one mistake was I bet the Seahawks win the NFC. I should have bet the Rams too, and I didn't bet the Seahawks win the Super Bowl at the same time. So that was a mistake that I'm not going to make again this year. All right, best bets for the show. Let's roll through these quick. I'm going to start going through Gil's tennis bets whenever he has them. He is on vacation. Want to make sure you guys get them, though, if you want to play him. ATP Dallas today, Adrian Mannarino, -127 versus Adam Walton. ATP Buenos Aires, João Fonseca, who I know was very popular last year, 156 over Alejandro Tabilo. I don't know that guy, Matt. NBA for me tonight, Raptors +2.5, Trailblazers +7.5. We talked about those earlier in the show. Also added Kansas, 20-1 to win the NCAA tournament, my only NCAA future so far. Will Hill, college basketball from him today. Virginia Tech catching 8.5 at Clemson. Ole Miss catching 7.5.
Let's hope they're not a mess tonight. He needs them to stay within 7.5 points.
Georgia +9.5 against Florida, and the Butler team total under 68.5 against UConn. Dallin Cuff on as well. He likes that Florida team total over 86.5 at Georgia, and LaSalle catching 12.5 against VCU. Jonathan Von Tobel, you will hear him on Money Moves. No, follow the money later today. Hawks +4.5 at the Hornets. I like that one. Agree with him there as well. Then I was chuckling. Jazz first half. He's avoiding that second half with Utah. -3.5 against the Kings. And you and I have golf bets to review, my friend.
Yeah, we got a lot of golf going on here. Again, if you want all of the full analysis of all of this, you can go to the Long Shots pod. You still have all day to listen to that puppy. But I am on Russell Henley, as is Kelly Bidlin. The rest of mine go to Ben Griffin, Daniel Berger, Ryan Gerard. These are a little bit longer shots here, 31-1, 40-1, 62-1, 72-1. I am taking on Scotty and Rory. I'm going to lose this far, far, far more times than I win this, but I think all of them do kind of possess the skill set that is a little bit different from what Scotty and Rory have, and maybe they can kind of ham and egg it around this course and win with their wedge games and making some putts or something. Top 20s on Russell Henley and Rio Hisatsune, who is like on fire
yeah.
right now, and a top 20 at +260. That includes ties as well. I think that's a really, really good price on him. He's riding a heater right now. He is inside the top 10 in this field and good drives as well, which is another stat that we really like, Kelly. So I'm going to ride the Hisatsune heater.
I like it, man. I haven't bet him yet, but man, he is well on my radar, and I think someone to watch out for this PGA Tour season. Outrights for me, ended up with four. Really like Henley this week. Really like him. McNeely, a bit more of a FOMO play, but betting him every week, and it'll go back to him in the outright market. Like Shane Lowry, this is his first event back over stateside, 63-1. And then, man, this has got to be the longest outright I've played, and I don't know how long. 80-man field, though, Chris Kirk's game should fit here, Matt. Three missed cuts to start the season. I'm going to give it. I saw 275. I'm
like, you love Chris Kirk. You can't
I
help
do
it.
Like Chris Kirk. I am a Chris Kirk guy.
Yeah, you do.
275 to 1 on him. I did add Henley in the winter without Scheffler market as well. Top 10 on Henley, top 20 on Henley, and Henley in a matchup over Matsuyama. Also top 20s, McNeely, Lowry, Pearson, Cootie, and Ricky Fowler.
Again, go in. YouTube page. If you want to see our pretty faces.
That's right.
You can get the analysis behind all of that as well. Stick around. Prop points. Jeff Erickson, Nick Whalen following us. And then as we said, we're going to get some money moves action in here as well. And then we'll have follow the money a little bit later. It is all we can do here, Kelly. Let's go ahead and win some bets.
Let's do it. See you tomorrow.